Carl, there's a gentleman on the phone, our guest in this particular segment, named Alvin Harrison. He writes, performs, records music on socially relevant topics with a band, his. It's called The 99. His lyrics are part of an attempt to raise awareness of the problems and issues facing America today. Now, the reason I think he's an interesting guest for us is that his thinking is that can music drive social change in today's world? I found the little précis that I read about him to be fascinating and relatively accurate. So welcome to Smith Sabatino.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for having me on your show.
Tell me, why do you think that music can change today's world?
Well, I think there's been precedent for it. If you remember back during the Vietnam era, music made a big impact on the social, what people believed about the war back then. And at various times during history, music has been very influential in changing how people feel, or at least getting them to talk about how they feel.
Well, can you give me an example of some songs that you have listened to through your life that you felt changed your perspective as well as your actions?
I remember Crosby, Stills, and Nash did Ohio when they were talking about kids getting shot on military campuses. I don't remember the exact name of the song, but there were a number about the Vietnam War. And those changed my perspective.
That was certainly Kent State.
Well, that was Kent State.
At the time.
Kent State, yeah.
For those of us, Mr. Harrison, Carl Sabatino here, for those of us who lived through that, I know that Ronald did as well, that was music of a time that defined an entire generation, remarkable in itself. But by the way, the music of the big band era also carried America out of the Depression in the late 30s, and that was the big band music, which I also happen to adore. But the music, you're absolutely correct, music can carry us. The question is, where do we want to take it? Where would you like to take it?
Well, what my music basically does is talk. I have one song, for example, it's called Rough Times in America, and it talks about the problems that we have, homelessness, not enough for children to eat, et cetera, et cetera. And it asks the question, why can't our leaders see this, and why are they just infighting among themselves and not working for the people? That's the kind of thing that I do.
When you play that song to an audience, and you sing that song to an audience, what kind of reaction do you get afterward? Is anybody moved? Is anybody then motivated to make some change?
I believe they are. I haven't actually done any polls, but they sing along with the songs.
Good.
So that seems to indicate to me that they are listening, they are in agreement, and that they, like the choruses and what it's saying enough to sing along with it.
Can you give us some of the lyric of, let's say, the first stanza? Does it come to mind?
Sure.
Please.
One of them, there's a song called We Ain't Buying. And basically it says, it's talking about police shooting, people in the street.
Okay.
So it's, my neighbor died in the street today. Oh, my goodness. Trying to remember how the song goes.
You're getting to be like me now.
I did nothing, but it wasn't right. When they come to take me away, who will be left to fight? And then that song is basically talking about the militarization of the police.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting. Yes. Interesting.
Well, I would agree with you. Musically and lyrically, are some of the issues easier to write about than others?
Yes. The problem I have is keeping it down to short enough to be in a song.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because when you start talking about things such as that our elections are being bought by the moneyed elite, There are so many examples and so many areas you can go with that, trying to keep it to a song with two verses or three verses. That's the tough part.
Yeah. Go back many years in your youth, and you listening to some of the great protest songs of your life. Which ones do you think were the greatest? Who was the greatest motivator that you can think of?
The greatest motivator? I would say possibly Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
I would agree. He got it right, even coming from folk into rock. He understood positively Fort Street as an example about Greenwich Village, which where Fort Street was, the changes that took place in that community that changed America in 1963-64. That's what that song was about.
And the other thing he did was he was kind of consistent. You know, a lot of bands maybe did a song or two or maybe three, but Bob was there all the time.
And he still is in many ways.
Yes, he is.
He's very relevant. He understands what he used to call, and I did an interview with him some years ago, he understands the human tempo, as he used to say. I get it. Sometimes I can't write it, but I get it. Doesn't that sound like Bob Dylan?
That sounds like Bob Dylan.
Well, you know, the secondary line in your the bio thing on Can Music Drive Social Change says that art and culture often precede action. Granted that music is art, but what about culture?
Well, art, I think, is by definition a microcosm of the culture.
Okay.
And so when art starts to speak about certain things, the culture absorbs that, and that's when you start to see changes in the culture.
Have you seen changes that you are pleased with in today's genre?
Oh, I am. I was very afraid that Americans were not going to, being an American, were not going to pay attention to what's going on as carefully as they should. And in over the last 2 years, I've seen a big change in both the American people paying attention, and believe it or not, the media paying attention to issues that I think they really need to get a handle on before this next election comes up.
Well, if social change is directed, and I agree with you, by music, what would be your next step? Where would you go from here?
We're really pushing. We were able to get one of our songs on the radio, on FM radio with independent stations, and it did fairly well. It got to number 22. My next step would be to get some of the other songs on radio and get enough of a following so that we could now do some benefit concerts and take the music, you know, to the people on a grander scale than we have so far.
Well, your website is www.the99online.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. And please remind everybody it's 99 the digits as opposed to 99 spelled out.
Right, you got it. The 99, all one word, online. Anyway, thank you so much for being with us, and I appreciate it. And come back and visit again and see how things are going. Alvin?
Thank you very much for having me, and I'll do my best to get back to you.
I hope so.
Keep singing, Alvin. Keep singing.
I'm going to keep on singing.
Thanks so much.
Right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's almost like a throwback, okay, to the era.
Actually, I miss some of the folk lyrics.
I do too.
I mean, Pete Seeger, I think, was also
wonderful.
A great
Peter Paul and Mary.
Oh,
unbelievable! Right. Absolutely.
But Seeger, I think, suffered exponentially for a lot of the folk singers of that era.
Yes, he did.
With the accused by a congressional committee of being a communist.
Yes. They all suffered. For those of us, and I was born and raised in Greenwich Village, and I lived with those people.
Yeah.
The folk era was dynamic because it was the coffee shops, it was the beatniks of Greenwich Village, the late 50s, early 60s. And when they came out, they are the ones, in my opinion, that were the vanguard of the revolution of the 60s.
Oh, I would agree.
And
that makes Alvin's point that music was the impetus for social change.
Without question. And today, we'll see. But I have a feeling, and I think he feels it as well, it's on its way back. Everything changes, as you know, and we always go back to the point. Rollins, shall we sing?
No. Actually, no. In fact, I never want to hear you sing again.
Happy. No. I did that on the air, and we almost took the station off the air. Carl Sabatino with Rollins Smith as we sing. We're back.
Think Green. Harrison with you. New research shows that people are more attracted to companies involved with positive social and environmental change, according to Ad Age magazine. Though many would argue that companies don't have to be responsible for anything other than profits, research again proves 77% of Americans consider companies' commitments to social issues when deciding whether to take the job or not. And the same 77% also refuse to work at companies with negative corporate responsibility practices. Even in cutthroat industries like retail, employers such as Starbucks and Whole Foods hold on to employees longer by offering part-timers health insurance along with a published social vision, in addition, of course, to profits. Is it a surprise that doing good does good? From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
His missing front teeth and bushy mustache reflected his offensive lineman's tenacity. As part of the Cardinals' tough lines, he was a six-time Pro Bowler who was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1996.
Dierdorf was the best of them because he could do everything. He was a great run blocker and just a tremendous pass protector.
So where is Dan Dierdorf now? Dan was in the booth for Monday Night Football for 12 seasons before becoming an analyst with the NFL on CBS in 1999. Today, Dan is back in St. Louis, where he's an investor in a local radio station. He's also partnered with his old quarterback, Jim Hart, as co-owners of Dierdorf and Hart Steakhouse. From the gridiron to the grill, Dan Dierdorf is still cooking. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.